never seems so right as to be with you. And when I'm with you, I always say you're everything. And as time goes by, floating like a bird am I. Even songbirds I know all sing, you're everything. Oh, days are so much fun.
From the Max Jazz release, Soulful Song is the album. I won't give the artist's name because that will be the Jazz Cat's job to do, but you'll recognize it as soon as he gets on the air with us in about 5 seconds. So listen in a little bit more. This is from the first track on here called You're Everything, and that's Renee Marie on the vocals. I would recognize that horn player anywhere. I love the soprano saxophone. Joining us right now on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio, and none other than Leroy Downs, and he's the host of the Live with the Jazz Cat show. Hey, Leroy.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I would recognize that voice, too, anywhere. So take it away, sir.
Oh, man, you got it. Well, today we have another great player who is doing so much for the music, Mr. Steve Wilson. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Leroy, nice to be with you, man.
Hey, man, it is such a pleasure coming at you with some new technology today.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, eventually, it seems like no matter where you're from, if you're going to immerse yourself in jazz music, you have to touch down in New York City, man. How did that big journey happen for you when you first got there?
This is actually my 21st year in New York, and I'm originally from Hampton, Virginia, and lived for a few years in Richmond, Virginia, and I've always had eyes to, play this music, and I knew from a very young age, even as a teenager, really, that if I was going to pursue this, that eventually I would have to come here because this, has been the center of the music for many, many years, and this is like, the world hub for jazz, and not that it doesn't happen in other places. It certainly happens everywhere in the world now. That's marvelous musicians and marvelous audiences in every city, every town. But when you come to New York, you can go out any night of the week, every night of the week, and see and experience up-and-coming, emerging, exciting young artists, as well as the grand masters that we've all listened to and admired for years. So basically this has been my calling, and I'm just, very honored to be here and to be in the music.
Yeah, one of my best nights of jazz I had in New York, I was visiting singer Vanessa Rubin.
Oh, yeah.
And one night we went to Birdland, Blue Note, the Iridium, the Vanguard, and we happened to see you at Sweet Basil's. I think Michelle Rose Woman was performing.
Oh, yes, yes.
Is that scene still thriving and filled with musicians checking out other musicians' gigs and sitting in on gigs?
Yes, it is. I mean, the scene always is in flux in terms of, clubs that come and go. Some of the established ones, they close and then something else opens up, but all in all, it's still thriving. It's still very much alive, and it's always really exciting new young players coming in, and you definitely can do that, man. Basically any night of the week you can go to several clubs, as you did, and you make the rounds, as we call it. And
man, I'm telling you, it was like the best night of jazz for sure.
Yeah it's that was one of the things that drew me here. Even before I moved here, I used to take trips here with a good friend of mine, a great drummer by the name of Billy Drummond. And we used to hang out together a lot in Virginia and play together. And we would take, cheap flights up here on weekends and stay awake for 48 hours and just, listen, eat, and sleep music, all the time. So it was just great, man.
Man, that's a special time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to Steve Wilson on the show, Live with the Jazz Cat. My name is Leroy Downs, and it's on KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, Diane Reeves is a good friend of mine, and she has a brand new album out called When You Know. And I was present for pretty much most of those recording sessions. You're mm-hmm. on the record, and I missed the day that you were in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did the two songs that I performed on. We did those at George Duke's place, at his studio. And I have to tell you, man, Diane, to me, and I know I'm not alone in this assessment, but I felt this way for a long time now, that she is the one in terms of the great jazz vocalist, and certainly no one category can hold her. I mean, she is into all kinds of music and experiences all kinds of music, but that it's always the greatest honor for me to perform with her and to record with her, because she just is one of the most amazing artists out there now, and I truly believe there's nothing, there's no song and no genre that she can't sing and just sound great in all the time. She's absolutely fantastic.
Well, you know, I was asking her who else was on the album, because there were so many other sessions coming up, and I'm like, Steve Wilson. She's like, oh yeah, I recorded with Steve Wilson many times, and
yes.
He's a great player.
Oh yes, I've been very honored and blessed to be asked by her, and of course another good friend of all of ours, Billy Childs.
Yeah.
And you know, just amazing. It's an amazing tandem that they have, and also with Jeff Keys, who's on the recording. And as I told George and I was there, man, I've been a Duke fan. I've been a Dookie for many years. So
yeah.
It's always great to work with George, man.
It is, man. And you know what? The session, everyone's so happy in the session. There's so much happiness around the music, you can't help but be good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone just brings so much to it. And she really gets musicians that that push her into new directions. She's always reaching for the next chapter, and you know, in that sense, she is really still an evolving artist. I mean, not evolving in terms of industry recognition, but of course, she's, you know, well established and getting many deserved rewards these days. But as an artist, she's constantly evolving, man, and that's what makes it exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've recorded as a leader on a multitude of dates with other artists, too. Have any of those musical encounters turned into special or specific projects for you?
In a sense, yeah. Well, I did two recordings for Chick Corea's label, Stretch.
Right.
And which is distributed by Concord. And certainly that would not have happened. Those two recordings would not have happened without him, you know, asking me to do those projects. I mean, he and his then manager Ron Moss came to me and said, "Well, we'd love for you to do a project for our label." And man, what a tremendous honor! And they said, "Look, we want you to do whatever you want. You know, whatever artistic direction you have in mind, it's." You know, the ball's totally in your court. And, you know, that's such a precious luxury with record companies because,
oh my goodness, yes.
You know, how many of them tell you, you know, to give you that kind of license and that kind of leeway? And so certainly that was a great thrill, you know, to be involved with Chick as a sideman and as an artist for his label and ultimately as a good friend and mentor. So certainly it is, you know, that him giving me that opportunity and all of the other experiences is really just, you know, forced a wonderful bond with him. So I've been very, very lucky and blessed in that respect.
You know, what I think is very fortunate is when someone allows you that freedom, because when you get that freedom, you're able to breathe and like, okay, well, everything is good. And it gives you a certain happiness and a certain energy and intent to go ahead and forge those directions, knowing that you got people behind you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's them saying to you that, hey, we believe in what you're doing and your vision. And that's why, you know, that's why we asked you. And so it's such a rare occurrence. So you're absolutely right. And I do have to say, in all fairness and full disclosure, that I did get that same thing with Max Jazz on my most recent recording. And I had done several recordings on Max Jazz with other artists. And when Rich McDonald, you know, asked if I was interested in doing an album, or I should say a recording. I'm from the old school, so I'm still prone to say album. but you know, when he said, "Look, we'd like for you to do a recording to launch the Max Jazz Horn series," you know, and he says, "You can do whatever you want." So again, I was very fortunate with Max as well.
Well, you know, making it in jazz has not been an easy task for the most talented performer. I mean, Max Jazz does such a wonderful job of showcasing his talent in the classiest light, you know?
Yes, yes, they do. They really have forged a wonderful niche for themselves, you know, with the consistency of the quality of their recordings and the music and the artists. They set the bar, you know, fairly high from the beginning. So, and they've been able to maintain that throughout the course of all of their recordings. So it's been a wonderful experience to have been involved with them. And I mean, I'm not currently under contract with them, but I'm, you know, still on very good terms with Rich McDonald and his family and the people who run the company. And you know, he's doing good things still and continuously.
Well, Rich McDonald's a wonderful cat. He has a wonderful smile, and you can tell he really believes in the music.
Absolutely. He's behind everybody 100%.
You're listening to Steve Wilson on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, it is 2008, and you have been nominated for a Jazz Journalists Association Award for Best Alto of the Year.
Well, I got to tell you, I found that out a couple of weeks ago, and quite honestly, I was very, very surprised. And of course, with the elite company that I'm in that category, I mean, it's just an honor to be considered, you know, with those people. I mean, those are, you know, those guys are my heroes and people that I've tried to emulate over the years and have taken from their work, you know, drawn inspiration from them, and so I'm just very honored to be cited in that way.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Well, with playing and recording with so many people, as well as leading your own dates for your band, how do you work out all of the logistics around different concepts of everyone else's music and maintain a certain specific special sound for your projects?
That's a good question. You know, I really love working and collaborating with other artists. One of the things that feeds me is developing, you know, musical relationships, because that feeds my own development, because I'm always learning, you know. I am and always will be a student of the music first and foremost, you know. And that's what feeds my artistry, and I find that every time I'm working with someone, either, you know, someone I've been working with for a long time or someone new, I'm always learning something new, musically or artistically, or just the way that you know, that artist approaches their work and their life. And so it certainly gives me new ideas, you know, and I'm always looking for new ideas. And there's just so many great artists out here, and but it is a balancing act to be able to do that and to maintain my own vision, because especially when I see something that's so good, I keep thinking, oh, I want to do that, oh, I want to do something like that. But you know, ultimately, being a leader and performing, creating artists, the whole point is to find your own unique voice. And that's really what it's about, is to hone one's own voice and own sound and own vision, and to, when given the opportunity, to be able to present that in hopefully a convincing manner. So that's part of how I do it and why I do it.
well, you know, once you figure that you know it all, it's over.
That's right. That's right. As someone told me many years ago, you know, the more you learn, the more there is to learn.
Yeah.
And I remember another one of the old guys, we call them, saying to me, you know, you don't own it until you can share it. So, you know, and that's really true. That's really true, man.
Speaking of some of the older guys in the business, I mean, you recorded with the Generations band that I think you still record with. And that band was comprised of a hierarchy of generations, with Ben Reilly being, I guess, the musical top of the totem pole, and you probably being the youngest in the quartet.
Yes.
But what is different working with cats that have been in the game and played with some of the great legends, as opposed to creating music with, you know, your musical peers?
Well, you know, it's number one, it is being in touch with the history and the foundation of this music, because, you know, as younger artists, you know, we stand on a lot of shoulders to do what we do. And, you know, and the fact is we don't have many of those guys around, you know, now. I mean, we don't have many of them left. And I've always wanted to do a project with musicians, some of the musicians that I used to listen to, and, you know, back in the, you know, 70s and 80s when I was getting into the music and buying records. I go, oh man, there's Mogri Miller. Oh man, and there's Ray Drummond. And, you know, and instances of Ray and Mogri, you see them on like every other record in the store. You know, man, these guys are great. They're playing with everybody, you know. And of course, Ben Reilly, who's been around for many, many years. And when I started listening to Thelonious Monk, and there's that sound, you know.
Right,
and of course, you know, the bridge with Sonny Rollins. So, but I think it's really important for young musicians to get with the older musicians, because this is first and foremost an oral tradition, and the only way to really learn this language and this music, even beyond the records as a musician, you have to get next to the grandmasters, so that they can pull your coat and school you, and that's, there's no substitute for that. So I want to, you know, when having the opportunity, you know, to make something happen and to make an opportunity for myself, and fortunately that came together, and you know, it's been great working with those guys. They're all kings. They're all royalty.
That's right, kings of the music.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Steve Wilson on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, just like these kings, you know, like so many, you're an instructor of the music. Now, I know that you learned a lot of your stuff on the road, but as an instructor, you know, you teach students over at the Manhattan School of Music. And with the career that your students have, they're able to look at you and they're able to see the past, present, and future of what you do with the music. I mean, with the business constantly changing from LPs to MP3s, you know.
Right.
You know.
That's
what,
right.
I noticed that that these young discovered talents have, what do you notice that they're lacking or that they have that's a little different than it was when you were coming up?
Yeah, well, what they do have is so much. They have total access practically to the recorded history of the music. I mean, you know, just through the technology, as you mentioned, you know, MP3s and, you know, iTunes and you know, the World Wide Web. So now they can go and look and find, you know, essentially the whole history, recorded history of the music at their disposal. So now they come in and they know many of the great recordings and a lot about the anthology of many of the artists that we all have admired over the years. But on the other side of it, and I should mention, they bring a great deal of talent. There's so many talented young musicians out there all over the place. It's just great, and it's very inspiring. But the one thing that is lacking is, you know, the opportunities, you know, of apprenticeship. And that is happening, well, primarily because of attrition. But I also think that started declining in the 70s and 80s, and I think the industry had something to do with that in terms of not nurturing enough bands, you know. What I mean by that is, you know, the people like the Mulgrew Millers and the Donald Browns and the James Williams who played with the Betty Carters and the Art Blakeys and the Woody Shaws, these were the and are the leaders that are ready to lead and ready to nurture the next generation. And you found a lot in the 80s that, you know, a lot of presenters and festivals and clubs, you know, wanted all-star bands primarily as opposed to working bands.
Right.
And, you know, all-star groups can be great, but this music has always thrived through working bands, through, you know, musicians who work together to form a common language and to form a sound and an identity. And unfortunately, that has taken a back seat in the last 10 or 15 years. So, so on the downside of that, young musicians have not had a chance to go out in apprenticeship with a leader for, you know, a number of years to learn the craft and to learn the business and to learn the road and to learn the club owners and the presenters. So it's a whole new game now. And but I do think that on the positive end of it, that the musicians, the young musicians particularly, they have a hunger for it, and they're going to do what they have to do to make it happen. And I'm always telling them to, number one, forge relationships with each other, forge relationships all over the world. But number one, learn your craft and learn the history, because you have to be grounded. You know, if you're talking about being a creative artist, you've got to know where this music comes from. And so study the history. Go see the older musicians when you get a chance. Get to know them if you can. Learn from them. And this will just give their music so much more substance and integrity.
Absolutely, man. Well, Steve, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I'm going to ask you one more question. And if funding were not a problem, what kind of project would you produce? And who would you call in to be on your creative team?
Oh, man, who wouldn't I call? Oh. My goodness, what? Talk about the dream project. Well, I can't narrow it down to names at this point, but I would love to do a large ensemble project, you know, with an orchestra. That, you know, in the last few years, that's become more and more of a desire of mine, you know, and partially through my experience of working with Diane Reeves, you know, and George Duke, you know, through the Calling recording that she did a few years ago.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, and just the orchestrations done by Billy Childs and a couple other projects that I've had the chance to participate in with Chick Corea. And I said, man, I would love to be able to do something with an orchestra. And actually, there's something that might happen this year, maybe later this summer. I'm not at liberty to say just yet, but there's a festival up in New Hampshire, and I was made a proposal. I was given a proposal a couple of weeks ago, and we're hoping it's going to come through. So, and it will involve playing with an orchestra, so it would be a beautiful situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Wilson on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. Steve, it's been a pleasure.
Leroy, it's been my pleasure, man. Thank you so much. And I know the illustrious list of artists that you had on your show, and I'm just very honored that you've asked me to talk with you.
Hey, man, I know who the players are, man, and I want them all.
Well, as I say to everyone, keep the music.
That's right.
Thank you, gentlemen. Another very, very insightful interview. Could have listened to it for a lot longer than that. And down the road, I think there's going to be an occasion where you will hear the Live with the Jazz Cat show in a much more in-depth and much more... you will be able to see it as well. So we're all looking forward to that day very soon. We'll be right back with more. This from the Max Jazz release, the 2003 Soulful Song album. Steve Wilson's composition in IU. Steve Wilson actually on the soprano, saxophone, alto saxophones, and flute. This is his composition.